Mike, we're looking forward to seeing you and White Lion Labor Day Live, Casablanca Resort in Mesquite. Have you ever been to this part of the world? Have you ever been to Mesquite? Do you know what you're in for?
Well, that's a lot of questions. I used to live in Nevada back in the 90s, I don't know if I've exactly been that place, but, you know, any place that rock and roll fans gather is good enough for me.
Excellent. Yeah, it's going to be at Casablanca Resort in Mesquite, Labor Day weekend, and it's going to be poolside. So you're going to be rocking out with a bunch of people in bathing suits. Are you comfortable with that?
I'm very comfortable with that. I prefer that over dark, smoky clubs.
Okay, cool. So recently you've been doing a lot of going back and taking White Lion music and sort of redoing it, not repurposing it, but kind of talk about the last few White Lion albums that you've put out.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, it's like we're sitting here talking about, you know, songs and a band that I started 44 years ago. And a lot of things changed when the 80s ended, and, you know, I ended White Lion and started a solo career. I got 17 solo albums, toured around the world, different stuff like that. And then bit by bit, just as you think you're out, they call you back in for duty, you know, and you start, you know, refurbishing the sound of the band. And then you also realize that, by the way, you're 35 to 40 years older. And you might not do the split anymore. You might not sing the high notes anymore. And that's fine with me, because my solo career was already sort of just preparing me for each sort of decade of how I, you know, it sounds strange, but looking in the mirror, and you want that sound to follow. I don't want to be up there on stage and trying to, you know, be someone I can't be, but instead be the one I am. So I just refurbished the live sound, and also re-recorded all the songs on something called Mike Tram Songs of White Lion Volume 1-3, where the songs have just gotten like just that kick-ass, you know, lift, but still note for note, but just in a bit of a lower key that fits a early 60s man.
Okay. I love it. Yeah, that's awesome. So as we talk about those three volumes and we look back at White Lion, what's one song from White Lion that you think back that you wished or deserved to be a bigger hit than maybe it was?
Well, I mean, I'm fortunate enough that White Lion had four top 40 hits, you know, three off the Pride album, Wait, When the Children Cry and Tell Me, and the following album, Big Game, was, you know, Little Fighter. And, of course, Radar Love became a big favorite of radio station around the country, because it's just one of the greatest rock songs ever written by Golden Earring. When we released our final album, since you're asking that kind of question, and that album came out early 91, that album should have been out in 89, been the follow-up album for the Pride album, because we had some big songs, American radio songs, they just got there 2 years too late. So a song like Love Don't Come Easy from the Main Attraction album would definitely have been a song we would have thought guaranteed would have been a big classic radio hit.
Okay, and songs and lyrics that maybe when you wrote them when you were younger have a little bit different meaning now. Is there a lyric or is there a song that the meaning has changed for you over the years?
Well, I mean, it's a great question that, of course, was never asked when we went up to a radio station in 1988. Being European born and being European raised, I always had a different outlook on the world. So once I started writing lyrics for the songs that I'd written, I did choose a lot of subjects that I'm so proud of that today stand the test of time. You know, when my kids started listening to dance music, they came to me and says, "Dad, at least you're not the one who put the X in sex." you know, and these days, you know, when I meet, you know, fans or just people that came to the show after, And, you know, I have so many veterans coming up to me and saying, man, Little Fighter got me through the hell I lived in Iraq.
Wow.
You know, and you know, statements like that. And, of course, I go back and look at the video for Little Fighter that doesn't represent the song, but the lyrics and the song is that strong that even when I go out and do it with an acoustic guitar, stuff like that, it hits you straight to the bone, and every person in the audience can make it their own song. It doesn't specifically have to go with how I wrote it and why I wrote it.
The show coming up, Labor Day Live, like I said, is going to be poolside. So you're going to be hanging out with a bunch of people in their bathing suits. To this day, after all the years of performing, do you still get nervous before you go out on stage?
You know, the only time I get nervous is if I book the wrong flight. the greatest thing is when you welcome or you embrace yourself. And you know you don't have to go out and be anybody but yourself. Even though the 80s were very loud image-wise, you know, the clothes and the hair, it just was what that image was in the 80s. My Tramp's feet have always been on the ground, and I've always tried to keep a very realistic touch with the world. It's sort of my own background, and I never, you know, never went away from that. So when the time came and I had to go out and tour in a rental car with just my guitar and a suitcase, a T-shirt, walking in through the front door because there isn't a back door, have to go through the audience to the stage, I made it part of my image that I am one of the people.
Oh, and love that.
Even with long blonde hair and a pair of pants and a cool jacket that fits well, I still am that person when I'm on stage. And I also try, if the time allows it for me to go into a little longer than hello people, you know, raise your hands. I like to make people feel like, hey, I'm only really like 4.5 feet higher than you right now because I'm on stage. But as soon as the show is over, I'm back down where you guys are.
Love it. So is there a routine? Is there a pre-concert beverage that you'd like to have? Something for your voice? Something to put you in the right mode? Is there something you like? What's a beverage you drink before you go on stage?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that incredible how that has changed along the way and things like that? I am a big fan of the Irish Gold called Guinness.
Oh, okay.
It, you know, as much as I mean, I've never been a drinker and stuff like that. But I do like a cold beer. The problem is that's just too much carbonation in beer, and it builds up. And the first two songs will suffer, or I will suffer if I've, you know, enjoyed it. But the Guinness goes down much smoother.
Okay. So one other quick question that's a little, you know, offbeat. If you weren't a musician or a rock star, what do you think you'd do for a living?
Well, I mean, basically, I was raised sort of 50-50 on a farm, and I still own a big farm back in Denmark that you know, for a while I was living back there before I returned to the U.S., I love the great outdoors, and I would lie if I didn't tell you. When I watch Yellowstone and I want to watch some of those kind of things, it's itching in me that I didn't become a cowboy.
I could see you on a horse and roping some cattle and doing that whole thing. That would be awesome, Mike.
Yeah,
Tramp.
I have cattle on my farm. I just don't have the horse.
Excellent. Cool. All right. Well, we can't wait to see you for Labor Day Live, Casablanca Resort in Mesquite. And I appreciate you taking time with me this morning. You have a terrific day.
Oh, thank you so very much.
Thanks, Mike. See you later.
You got it, brother. Thanks a lot for the support. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Can't wait to see you.
You got it, buddy.
All right. Bye.